Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23, please. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And when you find your place, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read verses 26 to 28. 26 to 28. I'll read if you'd follow along. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, as we approach this passage, we ask that you'd speak to our hearts and teach us about the matter of teaching our children how to be aware of the wiles that the Lord that Satan uses against us, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And Lord, we ask that you'd help each one of us to be so careful that we don't intentionally or unintentionally lead someone on. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us from your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. So we were looking at verses 24 through 23 through 26 last week, and we touch on now this morning. We look at verse 26. My son, give me thine heart. We talked about this in some detail last week, but it is so important that children give their heart to their parents, that they trust their parents, that they know what is best for them, and that they have their best intentions at heart. Children need to know that we love them unconditionally. They need to know that we are charting a course for them that is safe, that is biblical, that is godly. And of course, there's onus on us, isn't there, to make sure that we are doing that. That we actually care for our children, that we actually love them, that we have a desire to see them turn out well. Too often, parents just sort of think, well, I've got the broad framework here, and hopefully my children will pick up what I'm putting down, and they'll learn from experience, and some things they need to learn from their own personal experience. So that's not true. And I've heard people say to me before, youth that have said, oh, well, I learn better from making mistakes. You know what? That's not the way God intends it to be. I love working with my tools. I've got a bandsaw. I've got a couple bandsaws. I enjoy using them. Do you know that they use bandsaws for cutting meat? That's what I'm made of. And I don't want to learn by mistake. Oh, I just lost my hand. Just lost my finger. You know, I did a ride-along once down in South Carolina, and we got called to the deli. And a man, a butcher, a couple weeks out from retirement, took his thumb off. I don't want to learn from my own mistakes. And no one should want to learn from their mistakes. Mistakes can be painful. Now, sometimes we do make mistakes, and we ought to learn from them if we do make a mistake. Yes, we ought to learn from it. But we shouldn't have a rebellious attitude that says, I need to learn from my own mistakes. Because what that is, it's pride. It's saying, I'm not going to listen to the counsel of this person or that person. I'm not going to listen to the counsel of God's word. I am going to find out my own way. And if it means allowing myself to be hurt, then I will hurt myself. And that's not a biblical response. That's not a godly way to deal with situations. So we should not desire to learn from our own mistakes. But if we do make a mistake, then we need to profit from it. We need to say, okay, Lord, I certainly made a mistake here. What can I learn from it? What can I put into place next time to prevent this from happening? Are there safeguards that I can put into place? You know, they're me in my workshop using a push stick to push through that piece of wood instead of, putting my hand right next to the blade. And there's times when I have, I'm like, I can do it. I can do it. It's, you know, push it, and I'm pushing it along the fence, and then I'm like, you know what? My push stick is right here. It's in that drawer right there. Pull it out. Don't be lazy. Use it. So we learn. We can learn from our mistakes, but that is not the ideal course. And so when we're raising children, we don't want them to have that attitude. And we don't want to have that attitude ourselves that says, well, they got to learn their own way. There will be times, unfortunately, when children will resist the teachings of their parents, and they will end up going the wrong path, and we, as parents, may need to give them over to the Lord and say, Lord, I've done all that I can do. I'm going to pray now, and Lord, I do pray that they will learn from their mistakes, and you know that they kind of have to go through the school of hard knocks, the street school, you know, and some people kind of use that as a merit badge, that I went through the street school of hard knocks. That's not a merit badge. When a person does that, that's because of their own pride. That's because they have failed to accept the truth of God's word. But as parents, sometimes, if we've done all that we can, sometimes we just have to pray and say, okay, Lord, I pray that that you'll chasten them, that they will learn through painful mistakes what is right, what is wrong. And hopefully they will turn out right in the end. So, my son, give me thine heart. Do we have a desire? Do we have a love? We cannot command them to give us their heart. We have to, in love, consistently, every day, show them that we care for them. And, you know, I see bipolar parents out there, and I use the word bipolar. You might think I'm talking about the mental diagnosis, and I'm not. I'm talking about parents that one day they're talking baby talk to their child and goosey goosey goo, and the next day, or maybe later on that afternoon, they're yelling at that child, and they're being rude to that child, and that's not biblical. We will not capture their heart if we are constantly nagging at them, constantly being hard-hearted towards them, being harsh in our tone towards them. It's one thing to say, you know what? You're in trouble. You just smacked your sister across the side of the head. You know, we're going to have a talk. Or whatever is appropriate, right? It's totally a different thing to just yell at them and to teach them that you really don't love them. You don't care for them. You will never get their heart. And it is the goal, it ought to be the goal of every parent, to nurture them like a very tender plant. You know, I'll give you an example. I would love one day to, I don't think we have the right zone for it here, but I'd love to one day grow a gardenia. I think that it's pretty much have to, you know, in the summer put it outside, and then in the winter bring it inside. But a gardenia, they have a beautiful fragrance. And, you know, Emily and I have worked with some occasionally, very infrequently, with gardenias years ago when we had a floral business. But I'd love to have a gardenia with that fragrance. But they are so tender. They can, you know, it doesn't take much to bruise them, to injure them. And so you got to be so careful. You got to tenderly take care of it. Bring it inside during the cold months, and of course in the winter. And it's the same thing with when raising children. We have to raise them with tenderness. We have to sacrifice for them. Show them that we love them. I've given the example before, but one of the things that really meant a lot to me as a teenager was when my dad was working as a security guard. It was not a very high-paying job. And he saved up his money and bought me a horse when I was, I think, 17. And that meant a lot to me. That really, it showed me his love that he sacrificed. Another time was when I went into hospital with an allergic reaction, and I saw my mom's love for me, and that meant a lot to me. And do our children, do they see our love consistently, not in just in word, but in deed, daily? Not just in the baby talk, goosey-goo and all that, but on a daily basis, are we showing them consistently, we love you, we care for you? Because if we don't, we won't get their heart. And you can be guaranteed, when they come of age, they'll be gone. Guaranteed. Unless the Lord somehow intervenes and does a work independent of ourselves. My son, give me thine heart. It's not a demand. It's a pleading. It's a reasoning. Trust me. You can trust me with your heart. You can trust me with your destiny. And then notice the second half of this verse. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Well, that's pretty powerful. Can our children follow us? Or are we one of those kinds of people that, with a cigarette in our finger, says to our child, don't smoke, it's bad for you. Or with a can of beer, don't drink, you really shouldn't drink. You know, are we that kind of person that says, this is the truth, but yeah, I don't know. I can't quite do it myself. No, we've got to be people of character. You know, my dad's used the illustration before about when raising children. Children are sponges. They will absorb from us. They'll just keep on absorbing more and more and more. The good days, the bad days, the ugly days. They'll see everything. And they will look more at our actions than our words. So when Solomon says here, and let thine eyes observe my ways, Solomon's saying, I'm an open book. Look at how I live. Live the same way. He's not doing the, you know, do as I say and not as I do approach. So we need to be people that teach our children with tenderness, like that fragile plant. And we live a life that is honoring and pleasing to God all of the time. Not just in front of fellow church people, not just when we're around other believers or at church, but all of the time. They see us consistently loving them. So that's a huge verse to meditate and think on when we think about raising children. My son, give me thine heart. Not demand, but a plead. And have we done everything in our power to show them that we actually have earned their trust, that we love them unconditionally, we care for them, we want to see them turn out well, and that they can trust us? Do they see that? Or do they see a parent that snaps at them for the smallest little things? Because you won't get their heart if that happens. And then, letting thine eyes observe our ways. Let's be consistent. Now let's take a look at verses 27 and 28. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Now, ladies, please don't bristle that Solomon is speaking against women that are laying in wait. You remember, he's talking to his son. He's warning his son. And so the same goes true for men. There are some wicked men out there that lie in wait for women. And so you've got Solomon telling his son, he says, watch out. They are out there. They are a deep ditch. You know, when we have a car go off an embankment, working with 911 dispatch, one of the things we have to do is find out how far down the embankment. Now, our good friends from Saskatchewan are here, and Youngers, and their ditches are pretty shallow the best of times. 4 feet ditch, 5 foot ditch. And, you know, it probably isn't so great a concern over there. But here, you know, we have some pretty deep ditches. There are certain cases where if it's a certain depth, we have to get the fire department involved. And there are some areas where the fire department it's outside of their boundaries. We come across that from time frequently. We have this map, and you get you overlay it over a Google kind of map, and it shows you the boundaries of this fire department, and you're like, that accident's right here. It's in between those two. Who's going to go? And we end up calling search and rescue or some sort of a road rescue group. And they go, and they have to go down the embankment because it's not safe for us as far as our equipment and our training. Well, this person is a deep ditch. This whore, the whore being someone that gives them their body out for sale, basically. It might be for wealth, it might be for money, it might be for prestige. Whatever the case is, it's evil, it's wicked, no matter if it's a woman or it's a man. And that person is a deep ditch, not just a shallow Saskatchewan ditch, but it's a BC ditch. It's a cliff. It's deep. Strange woman is a narrow pit. It's constricting. It's a pit. We need to warn our children. We don't just leave them to their own devices and hope for the best and keep our fingers crossed. We warn them. We say, you know what? These are some of the kinds of dangers you need to be aware of. And sometimes it can be, in some cases, it might feel like it's an awkward conversation. But you know, really, it shouldn't be an awkward conversation. We should be able to tell them in a loving but even clinical sort of way, like, this is the truth of it. And we shouldn't feel embarrassed or ashamed to tell them the risks. And there'll be times in their life where it'll be specific, where we'll say, you know that person? You need to be careful around that person. And it's not a matter of being judgmental or being rude about it. It's about you sense a danger. And parents are given intuition by God and need to exercise the use of that discretion. Oftentimes, it seems that that women have a heightened sense of danger, where they can sniff out a rat sometimes sooner than a man will. And if a wife comes to her husband and says, "I have a concern about this person," the husband needs to go, let me think and pray about that. Let me observe. Let me, you know, and not just go, "That's just their personality." No, you need to think and pray about it. There might be something to it. And so we need to be very careful about those that hang around our children. Whether our child is 3 years old, whether our child is, you know, 18, 19. And even if our child has left the home and they're on their own, we should still be watching for them. Watching out and as a young adult, being able to say, "Hey, you know what? I need to watch out for this person. I need to watch out for that situation." And let's hope that you and I have captured their heart as an adolescent, and that as an adult, they now go, "Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad." And that they listen to our counsel. We need to warn them. You know, that's exactly what Solomon is doing in here. He's telling his son about how this woman, and again, it can be flipped around, it could be the man. There's certainly enough men out there that prey on women. She lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. She's got an evil, wicked desire to take people down. And there are, again, men that have that same thing. And so, as parents, we warn them. Let's take a look at a few other passages. Proverbs chapter 7. This whole passage is about that. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep them, lay them up. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. The apple of thine eye, you know, that like the pupil, one of the areas that we protect so carefully, or at least we should, right? Bind them, verse 3, upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman and from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked up through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Oh, do you really think God is tricked by saying that, oh, well, you know, I've got peace offerings, so we can sin. I've done these good things, so it'll cover our sin. You don't trick God. You don't go to confessional and confess for something you're about to do. God doesn't forgive that kind of sin. This is just blasphemy, what she's saying. Verse 15, therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently. Oh, really, she really cared specifically for him. Diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. He's not coming back forever, for at least for a very long time. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattery of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, and as the bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken now unto me, now therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Decline, you might say, well, decline, that usually means say no. But no, it's talking about declining, going down a decline, going down towards her house. And you notice there that her house is the way of hell. So it's going down, it's not going up. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Don't give her your heart. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. He's very specific here. And we need to impress upon our children the need to make a decision right from the get-go that they're going to purpose in their heart. They're not going to defile themselves. Just like Daniel, he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. And if a person makes that definite decision that says, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the person, who the person is, I will not defile myself, they will, in most circumstances, keep themselves pure. hopefully. I say in most circumstances, sometimes people, they fall. They get their heart is wooed by that person, and even though they made that decision before, they change their course. It's so unfortunate. But if a person, and I've heard this said before, and I believe it's very true, if a person does not decide in their heart that they're going to maintain purity, they won't. That's a given. If they have the opportunity, they will take the opportunity. Okay, going over two chapters to Proverbs chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. Proverbs 9, 13 through 18. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing, for she sitteth at the door of her house, on the seat of the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. She's there to drag people down, promising instant gratification without the difficulties that come with married life, the trials, the tribulations. She's promising instant gratification that comes with no strings attached. That's what she promises. But it, in turn, it brings death. Proverbs 22:14, the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that abhorreth the Lord shall fall therein. So what's one of the ways to keep from falling therein? So that was Proverbs 22:14. One of the ways to keep from falling in is to do the opposite of abhorring the Lord. Instead, love the Lord, follow the Lord, give the Lord our heart. And of course, for children, for youth, to give their parents their heart. And as we think about this, there's the matter of warning our children against the dangers out there. Whether it be a person that is much older than our children who we think could be a predator, or whether it is someone their age that is flashy, who is showing signs that they're trying to attract the attention of our children. We need to warn them. And so we also have to warn our children themselves against leading others on. And where we warn them to be very careful in their deportment, to be careful in what they wear. And of course, the same goes for each one of us. You know, as a husband, I go shopping with my wife very often, and I'll try on clothes, and she it's exactly the same for her. She'll try on clothes, and she'll say, "What do you think?" And I'll think, "Oh, it looks really good." Or there'll be times like, "You know what? That's, you can't quite see it from this angle, or from, you know, whatever the case might be, but that's actually, it's not very modest. It's too revealing." And she'll do the same for me. And there are times where, "Oh, look, it's a really nice pair of jeans or something." And it's like, you know, she'll say, "You know what? It's too tight. They're too tight and they're too revealing." And it's like, "Oh, man, it was a good deal. It was 50% off at Value Village, you know?" And it's like, "Ah, well, you know what?" I mean, the other day, I'll tell you the truth. The other day I had, I think, about 8 things. And I said to her, "What do you think of these?" And in some cases, it was like, "Well, you've already got one shirt that color," or, you know, and, you know, it was practical sort of things. I put every one of those things back on the rack, bought a book, and went out to the car. Bought a book on woodworking, you know, like so. It's wise to accept. It's needed to accept the counsel of our spouse. And we got to do the same thing with our children. We need to be able to, with a loving but critical eye, be able to say, "Yeah, that is a really good pair of pants that this young man is wearing, or that's a really good skirt or dress that our daughter is wearing, or to be able to say, you know what, it's too short. It's got that pencil thing, sort of. It's every time you walk, you're revealing your body. It's, you know, maybe it's a blouse it's transparent, and you're seeing more than you ought to. To be able to say as parents, you know what, no, that's not going to work. And to be not just to be hard-hearted about it, but you have to be able to explain why it is not godly. And also then looking at how our children interact with others, where they know they have proper boundaries. You know, that it is sometimes a difficult thing to know where, you know, how much kindness to show some of the opposite gender without, you know, making sure you genuinely in your heart, you want to be kind to them, you want to show brotherly love to them, but at the same time, you're trying very hard not to lead them on in any sort of way. And that's something we've got to do. I mean, we've looked at before Timothy, where Paul said to Timothy that treat the younger women as sisters with all holiness, he says. With all holiness. And there are times when people will kind of say, well, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And they'll kind of come into more of an intimate relationship than they ought to and lead a person on. And we've got to be so careful about that. So if we see any behavior in our own children where they're leading others on, we got to jump in there and be very careful to tell them what they're doing. And oftentimes they have no idea. And we can, in love, correct that so that they are not leading others on. We want to be careful that we don't cause them to be very standoffish, right? And the same thing goes for every one of us. We want to show brotherly love to everyone, but just with the proper discernment. Okay, we'll end right there, and let's close with the word of prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you, and we think of those here that have children. Lord, we ask that you'd help each one of us as parents to love our children dearly, tenderly, as that tender plant that needs careful attention, needs careful watering, needs the proper conditions. Lord, that our children would know that we love them and that we have their best at heart. That our life, just like the salmon that dies, and as when they spawn, and their body is broken up, and their little offspring end up benefiting from their body. Lord, that we would live the crucified life, and that our life would be for you first and foremost, and then if we have family, Lord, that we would give our lives for our family. That we would not seek to promote our own life, but that we would live sacrificially. Help us to capture their heart, not through violence, but Lord, that they would willingly offer us their heart, and that we would, that our life would live a testimony, that they would see day in, day out, the love of Christ coming through us. Lord, we pray that you help each one of us be so careful about those that are the predators out there that are seeking to destroy us. And help us to guard our children. Help us to warn them when they need to be warned, both that they not lead others on and that they are not led on themselves. That they would guard their heart with all diligence, knowing that it is out of the heart are the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. Lord, we ask that you go before us now as we go into the morning worship service, that you speak to our hearts, draw us closer to you and to each other. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.